ready, scripture came to mind where Jesus made this statement in Matthew. He said, "For many are called, but few are chosen." We had a message come forth last night, amen, for Brother Hatfield on if your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to move God. Let me ask you this morning, did you come with the intent, amen, to move God? And when God begins to move, are you willing to move with Him? Amen. Don't start my time yet, Pastor. Okay, oh, too late. He's already started it. We find in the Old Testament when the presence of God would begin to move, the children of Israel were called to pack up and move with it. And whenever He would begin to move, it didn't matter if you were in the middle of breakfast. It didn't matter if you were in the middle of lecturing someone. You packed up everything. You closed up shop. And you moved with God. Amen. Here this morning, amen, we've got to have, amen, we got to make that decision for ourselves that no matter where God chooses to move me, whether it's 5 steps or 500 yards, if it's from standing up to laying under the altar, that I'm willing to move with Him. That's when we will be able to see the mighty works of God in our lives, amen, and in our churches again. Amen. I have come this morning with a burden on my heart. As the Lord poured this in my heart, I pray, amen, this morning that He would just continue to use me. Amen. I want to give you my title before I ever get into my message. Lindsay, if you throw that, she's not in here. Amen. No, it's okay. I'll just give it to you. Amen. I'm missing my second hand, my media assistant. I want to simply preach to us, amen, everyone that's here this morning, pastors, preachers, evangelists, teachers, husbands, wives, friends, on this simple thought: a handful of glory in a labor of love. A handful of glory in a labor of love. Because I find that Jesus made this statement: many are called, but few are chosen. We have all been called to work in the field. But while we're working in the field, in this labor of love, are we reaching out and are we getting the handful of glory that is being left behind for us? If you would stand to your feet this morning and turn in your Bibles to Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 16. I want to read this one verse. Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 16. When you have it, say amen. I hope you brought your Bibles this morning. Amen. Or your iPad or your iPhone, so that you can follow along a little bit. Amen. And we find here in the scripture, Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 16. And this is Boaz speaking. He said, "And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them," get this morning, "and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Amen. We find that there was someone that was in the field, and she was working out of a labor of love for someone else. Oh, I feel this morning. We have been called, amen, with a purpose. We as ministers, as friends, as husbands and wives, we have been called with a purpose. And we've got to begin to realize while we are working, while we are walking, while we are in this trial called life, that there is, amen, the master, the one that owns the field that we are working in. It is not a field that we own, but we are working for the kingdom of God. It is a field that belongs to the master, and we just know who he is. We know that he showed a little kindness to us, and we say, Lord, let me work a little bit. I'm not expecting anything but just the leftovers. But I'm here to tell you this morning that the Almighty God of heaven has pulled out the basket where he's got some extra grain that's meant for the king's table. And he's going to begin to dump it out in front of you here this morning. And he's expecting us to begin to glean it, to begin to pick it up, and begin to accept it. Let's go ahead this morning and lift our hands if we could. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Your will be done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like right now we could just stop and find ourselves a place in our field. Because, Brother White, there's a place in the field for you. Brother, there is a place in the field for you. I even want to talk to our elder here this morning. Sister Betty, there's a place in the field for you. Amen. We've got to begin to locate ourselves this morning and say, Lord, where am I at? Am I in the field or am I in the ditch? You can be seated. Amen. I want to talk to us. A handful of glory and a labor of love. Here this morning, we can look through the story of Ruth. We find as she was married there in Moab, she married to a man that came from a place called Bethlehem, Judah. And when he left his home place, he left a piece of property. He left a place. We find as they travel, because there was no bread anymore there. There was no life to be had because there was a drought. Let me tell you, I want you to be, amen, here this morning. Be consistent in your field. We find that they left their field, went to a far country. And there we find that that the sons had to get married. They grow up. They get older. Parents, realize your children are going to grow up and they are going to get married and they are going to move away sometimes. They're going to do things that you probably don't agree with, you don't like. That's why you've got to make sure that you're, as you're raising them, that you show them what it means while you're working in the field. What we find here is Ruth. We're going to just give us a short version of the whole story. As her husband passes and as Naomi finally hears that there's been rain back at home and that there's bread in the house yet once again, she packs up and says, well, I'm headed home. And as she makes her journey, she starts her journey. And then she turns to her daughter-in-laws. You don't have to go with me. I have nothing but debt. A home probably that is no more. Fields that are no longer producing. I have nothing for you to come home to. Not going to have any more kids. There's no hope for you. This is what Naomi was telling her daughter-in-laws. Go back home. We find as Ruth made this great statement that we've all talked about, hey, I'm going with you. Your God is my God. Where you die, I die. Amen. When we accept the call of Christ, listen to me for a minute, preachers. We are making a testament and a statement that wherever you lead me, Lord, I will follow. No matter the conditions, I will serve. No matter how bad I feel for myself, I've got to look out for the souls of others because you called me to be Christ-like. Let me tell you this morning, church, even in the midst of turmoil, Jesus Christ, amen, is passing out, amen, a handful of glory in the middle of your labor of love. Amen. It might seem that your church, hallelujah, is going through a trial. It might seem like your ministry, amen, is being attacked. Amen. You might have went into this coronavirus thing looking, man, my church is doing good. And then all of a sudden, church gets shut down and you can only get 10 people. Church resumes and you only get 5 out of them 10 that you were letting come in. Everyone else is gone. And you become discouraged. Look at your field, because there is a handful of glory that is waiting to be dropped in front of you. Now listen to this. As Ruth, we find as she makes this grand commitment, I'm going to follow you till the end of your life. She gets there. Naomi's too sick, too weak to do anything. Ruth has to make a decision that I'm going to have to go out and do my part. Because I don't want her to go without. So we find that as she goes out into a field by happen chance. Anybody know what that means? By accident. Not on purpose. She walks into a field of a near kinsman. And right here's where we get this portion of scripture, because Boaz noticed this lady out there, this young lady that is working harder than everybody else, because she's in the field and she has purpose. She realizes there is someone that is counting on me. Ministers, let me tell you, there are people that are counting on us. Amen. They are expecting us, amen, to arise in the midst of this occasion. Amen. To show forth with the strength and the spirit of an almighty God. We've got to begin to realize, even in the midst, we've got to continue to look forward. Amen. And look up. Amen. To those that are reaping. Amen. In the heaven. Amen. We've got to begin to look towards, amen, almighty God, and say, Lord, I need you to pour out a blessing. I got to see that there's a harvest. I got to begin to see that there's a field that's being made ready. I might not be reaping everything, but Lord, if you'll just give me just a little of the leftover. That's where Ruth was at. She was going behind and getting what was left that was cast aside, that was seemed worthless. I'm here to tell you, there's some of us here, amen, in the house of God, amen, that people looked at us and said they're a lost cause. They're worthless. Amen. We find that Jesus himself was even made, the statement was made as, can there be anything good come out of Nazareth? We must be watchful, brothers and sisters. We need to keep our eyes in the field. Otherwise, we will miss the glory. Get this. And only reap frustration. We will miss the glory and only reap disappointment. We will miss the glory and only reap discouragement. We will miss the glory and only reap hurt. We will miss the glory and only reap offense. I find that Jesus Christ, everywhere he went, he was attacked by the church folks. Let me tell you folks here something this morning. There are going to be people that you know and people that love you, they say, that's going to come against you Because these mortal bodies are what? Flesh. Which flesh can be tainted by sin or can be renewed by God. We are a vehicle. We can be used by the Spirit of God, amen, or by the spirit of Satan. So let me tell you something. It's easy for us to get offended and to be hurt. And we gather up all of our frustration, the offense that we have felt that was made for us personally. And it wasn't. It was maybe someone that doesn't understand that you have a problem with that. But we pick it up. We carry it instead of carrying our praise. We carry it and we look at the frustration and the disappointment we've had in the ministry. Or the disappointment that someone else has set before us. And we look at that instead of looking at the field. We get to looking at how empty our bag is and how much God's already put in it. Because He saved us, gave us a second chance. Shouldn't we give someone else one as well? We must take note when the Lord speaks that we give Him ear. We find Jesus experienced this when they said, nothing good can come out of Nazareth. You know what in the world? Nothing good. Can anything good come out of Bartlesville? Anything good come out of Kansas City? Anything good come out of Chelsea? Where's Chelsea? How about out of Pennsylvania? Anything good come out of Pennsylvania? Anything good come out of there from that little town on the side of that mountain? Huh? Anything good come out of there? Where are we at? Iowa, there's nothing that feels in Iowa. We find that this morning. We must take note and hear when the Lord speaks. Ruth was out there gleaning. Boaz, the owner of the field, takes notice. Who is this maiden? Who is this lady that's working so hard? People take note of your work ethics. Now listen to this. They take notice of your worship methods. They take notice of your prayer life. Amen. They take notice of how you work an altar when someone else is down there. Church people take notice. I'm preaching to church people this morning. Preaching to me. Amen. They take notice. But when the Lord speaks, because we find as He is there, Boaz is there, and He calls her, hey, come over here to where the reapers are. We find later on, He says, now listen, why don't you follow a little closer to where these guys are at? And when you see them draw up the water, don't worry about going and getting it yourself. Just help yourself. What was that? That was the glory in the midst of her heartache. She was able to receive refreshment. So what we find is, it just doesn't stop there. We are looking at a young lady that is out there working for everything that she can get. And all of a sudden, she gets an invitation to come around the fire. Because she was listening to the Lord of the field. He said, hey, won't you come here? Don't worry about going and threshing all that and beating it all out to try and make some bread tonight. I've got something for you to eat. Here this morning, as the power of God has begun to move in this meeting already, let's not sit back and say, well, it's not my field. It's not my field to work. Brother Yates, welcome to my field. I would like for you to pick up and come along with you. Brother Gans, welcome to my family. Please come and work a little with him. Brother Warren, welcome to the field. Brother David, welcome to the field. We are in this field together, church. The sooner we realize that the master of the house, the master of the field, he has given us, amen, a challenge. He has given us an opportunity, amen, to catch forth a handful of glory here in this labor of love. Why do I get up here and preach? Why do I go out and witness? Why do I go about what I do every day? Because it's a labor of love. I love the Lord. I love souls. That's why I'm willing to get under the altar and cry and pray. That's why I'm willing to go and pray for someone else. Because it's a labor of love. And in the midst of that labor of love, there can come forth a little bit of glory from heaven. And it will begin to pour out. It will begin to enrich what he is already doing. Amen. We want to see God move. We want to see him heal. But we've got to move when the master calls. Hallelujah. When the master calls. London, come here. Go up there and stand. Sit in that chair. Go over there and play the beatbox. Hurry. All right, and go back and sit down. Thank you, baby. What is that? We find that obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on, brothers. Obedience is better than sacrifice. What does he want? Get in the field. He wants, amen, when he wants us to follow close, amen, to the angels of glory that's trying to prepare souls, that's in the midst of turmoil, that's in the midst of being distressed and despair, someone that's thinking about committing suicide, you've got to follow after the leading of the Spirit of God. And when the master says move, we don't question it. We say, how far can I go, God? Can I go till I see them saved? Or can I go ahead and go on down to the drug addict house and see them being delivered? Can I go over to where, hallelujah, where the alcohol is and begin to speak deliverance that comes from the Word of God? Come on, church. Praise the Lord for a moment here. We find that Ruth started out. She started out and it was looking pretty good. But then her husband died. Things went downhill. We find that she goes to a place she's never been before. She has to work harder than she's ever worked before. I don't know if this is going to get any better. Just keep working till Mama dies. I'll go beside her tomb. I'll just die there too. I'll just give up. She's the only reason I'm working. Let me speak to you for just a moment. Grab a hold of being called. Because when we grab a hold of being called by the master, it doesn't matter what choices we have to make. what things we have to walk away from, what things we have to abstain from. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. What places we have to go down into and witness. Amen. What persecution we sometimes have to go through. Amen. The heartache we have to experience. Amen. I find that Jesus made the statement he had no place to lay his head, but yet he had lots of followers because people want to follow Christ. Amen. I'm not saying we as a movement draw people, but it's the Holy Ghost. She went from just simply gathering around the fire to eat something that was given to her, to not too much longer down in the scriptures, where she was the one that stood in the house and said, "Reapers, go before. Bring me some wheat. Bring me some barley. Go over to my field." Hallelujah. That was left. Amen. For her family, it now belonged to her. I'm here to tell you that God has given us, amen, not the spirit of fear. Come on now. Amen. We are called to arise, to get up off of our, amen, place of slumber, our place of deceit, and begin to move with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When the Lord speaks, give Him ear. She was a foreigner in that land. Whenever she heard that she was being called, no doubt the worst thing that could happen to her came to her mind. God is sometimes going to call you into an area that you've never been before. It's unfamiliar. You are not experienced in this land. That's why when we move God, we move with Him. Because whenever He split open the Red Sea, the children of Israel could have just simply stayed back and said, "Oh, that's great, that's magnificent, that's fine." But we're not going forward. Bring the water out of the ocean and place it on the army up on the land. Sometimes when God calls us into area to a new area in our life, we want to play 20 questions with Him. Well, what? What if? Why? How? When He called Peter out of that boat, He said, "Come." He didn't give him any explanation. He didn't say, "Peter, here, let me put these floating shoes on you here." No. He said, "To what? Come." And He stepped out of the boat. I'm here to tell you, church, we as a group of men and women here at Calvary Lighthouse Church this morning, amen, as we are here in this camp meeting, amen, if we would make a decision, amen, not to simply let one be blessed, what would have happened if all the disciples would have crawled out of the boat because they heard the same voice, they heard the same call? I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, what would happen if we as ministers would begin to get underneath each other's burden and say, "Get on out of the boat, brother. Get on out of the boat, sister. I'm in it with you. I'm going to move when God moves. No matter what the storm looks like. No matter what the turmoil. Because there's a handful of glory in this labor of love." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Stop looking at the hurt and look at the healer. Stop looking at the discouragement and look at the provider this morning. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, and I'm going to skip down through some verses here. "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." What would happen? Listen to this. What would happen if when we came into the house of God, we had that on our lips? We walked into the house and said, "Blessed, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord." Not Brother James Gans is Lord. Not Chelsea Sanders is Lord. Not Brother Jason's Lord. But my Lord, our Lord, who hath blessed us with terrible blessings. That's how we act so many times. Amen. Try not to meddle here. I just feel that we have taken away the value of this sacred area. Listen to me, church. Ministers, ministers' wives, teachers, Christians, when someone enters into this place, we should forsake the pew in which we are sitting. But instead, we stay in our place of comfort. I hope they can get through. I know they're struggling with pornography. I hope they can get freedom. I know they're fighting a spirit of homosexuality. I hope they can get through. I know they're fighting a spirit of depression. I hope they can get through. I know they're fighting the thoughts of suicide. I hope they can get through. I don't serve a God that just simply stands back and hopes. I serve a God of action. I serve a God when I'm in the midst of my turmoil. I'm in the midst of my trial. He says, "Hey, son, come on over here in this part of the field. I got a blessing for you. Let me give you a touch of glory. Let me begin to show you in the midst of your labors that it's not, amen, for loss, because I've got something that you can gain." According as he hath chosen us, listen to this, in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy. How do we become holy? By drawing close to him. Because I can get a book that talks about being holy, holiness, how to live it on the outside. And I can come in all my glory. Man, that person's got it right. Lift my hand just at the right time and say amen. But unless I make him my holy God, I will never have or be holy. In order to be holy, we have to draw near to him. But yet, we sit in our pews. We sit in our fancy houses, our fancy cars. We let the house of God go to nothing. Well, maybe, bless God, somebody will bring up an offering tonight and help the church out. We begin to make excuses for our shortcomings. I don't serve a God of excuses. I serve a God of results. Whenever we draw to him, he's going to draw us closer up. Amen. Let me get through this. Hallelujah. Finishing out verse number 4 there. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasures of his will. Good pleasures. How many likes good gifts? How many wants a good gift? Anybody want a good gift? Come on, John, you're moving slow there. Now, that is 1 in 75 made. It's got a U.S. stamp on the side of it. And it is worth a lot. there's only 75 of them that's ever been made. There is hardly any that can be found. But I found one. He doesn't give us something that you can get from around the corner. He doesn't give us something that there's billions of them out there. He gives us one in a million, one in a trillion. There's none other like it. Amen. He gives each and every one of us, amen, an experience, amen, and a lifestyle that we are to walk therein, and no one else can match but Him. Amen. We are the only one that can arise from our position and say, I will follow Christ. Amen. And I will be blessed by Him. Amen. He's going to give me the good gifts. Amen. He's going to give me the pleasures of the kingdom. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted and the beloved. Amen. He has made us. We are in His image. We are being transformed. Skip down to verse 13 with me. I'm running out of time. In whom ye also trust after that ye heard the words of truth, the gospel of your salvation. People don't get excited about being saved anymore. Used to, I can remember as a child, being in camp meetings at Grandpa's church, hear him get up and just say, I'm so thankful for the cross and how it's from that blood that came from my Savior's hand as He hung there on the cross, that it was the saving of my soul. And all of a sudden, the place would erupt because we remembered the meaning of it. Don't lose the meaning of your field. Now get this. Verse 14. Let me finish verse 13 there. In whom also after ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Let me tell you, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, you're not sealed. That's why it's important to be filled, so that I'm sealed. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sealed with the promise. Why ain't I seeing any miracles? Why ain't I seeing people saved? Why can't I ever seem to get anywhere? Have you checked your seal? Has it been broken? Every time you buy a drink from the gas station or the grocery store, it's on everything. Look at it. If this seal is broken, do not partake of. So whenever you walk up to someone and you are supposed to be that fresh drink, amen, of water, you're supposed to be renewing and reviving, amen, the stones that are around about you. And when you walk up there, they look at your seal and they say, oh, it's been broken. I cannot partake. I cannot take of any of it because it is spoiled. It is tainted. That's why I find that His mercy is renewed, amen, daily. That's why we find that Paul said, I must crucify myself. Daily, so it's fresh and new. Hallelujah. Verse 14, I'm trying to wrap up here. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. A labor of love. Getting a handful of glory in the midst of it. Brother Jason preached Sunday night as he was closing. He was talking about if a man looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. We find Lot's wife as she turned back towards the city of sin. Preachers, beware of your temptations you will be tempted. Remember those symbols and signs we can find in the Old Testament of people that were burnt and never could enter in again. Ministers, pastors, pastors' wives, teachers, whenever you present the gospel, are you presenting it in a way that there is no question of who you serve? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. I got too much here. This isn't in there, so you won't find it, Pastor or Sister Lindsay. But I want to just admonish us with this scripture. Malachi 3 and 10 makes this statement. Now remember, Ruth is out there gathering up the leftovers. And she's taking it home. But whose God did she serve? Jehovah God. The God of Abraham and Isaac. The same God that laid out a set of principles of what in his scripture we are to pay for something. What is it? Our tithe. Now, whether that be in time, listen to me. We've each been given 24 hours in a day. Are you giving God any of your time? Just here at camp meeting doesn't count. It's not going to count for the whole year. Come on now. We are to give him of our funds. We are to give him of the first fruits. So, with all of that, bear this in mind. As she is out there gathering, I'm serving the God of Israel. The one that as Abraham was fixing to sacrifice his son upon the altar to God, that God provided something because he was willing to give everything. The least I can do as I'm gathering this here in the field, I'm filling up the bag of anything and everything I can get. Whenever I get a chance and I get back to mom's house, I've got to take a portion of this. I got to take it down to the nearest church. And I've got to give something. I came to church this morning to give something. Because what we find, man, as she went home after the first day, and man, I got a little bit, but Mama, this is just Lucas Sanders' commentary. Just follow with me for just a minute. She goes in there to Mama and says, listen, this is what I got. I got to make this little cake, and I've got to take down to the preacher because I've got to pay my tithe on it. What do we find is the next day she goes into the field, and there's handfuls of purpose being dropped behind. Well, now she's got enough to make a big loaf. It's not just a little cake anymore. Oh, God's blessing me. Let me take some of this down to the preacher. What do we find? Oh, hallelujah. The next time she goes to the field, she's not asked to go anywhere else but to stay there. And shortly later, we find that she's not having to work in the field anymore because she's got the whole field and she's able to bring forth, amen, more than enough, amen, to pay for, amen, to pay for to what God's blessings were. We find that it didn't stop with her, but who was her son? He was the father of David, amen. Who do we look at? Amen, Jesse, as he was born into the world, he said, surely, as he was talking to Daddy, he said, surely. Surely, Grandma Ruth, amen, she told me a few things about how God was faithful. Daddy, I want to be a father, amen, as Boaz was, amen, and bring in and redeem those that are around me. And as Jesse, amen, sat there and told David of the gloriness of God, no doubt when he said, I can enter in, amen, we've got to begin to get that joy. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Hallelujah. We find in Acts, and it shall come to pass in the last days, God saith, I will pour out my spirit We're at the point where he's trying to pour out in our field, amen, a handful of glory here in the midst of your labor of love. Amen. We've got to wake up and realize the Holy Ghost, amen, has come to give us a blessing. Amen. To raise us up from our field of disturbance and deceit and discouragement and bring us into freedom. Finally, brethren, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but counterwise, blessing, knowing that ye thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Are you carrying your brother this morning? Are you carrying your sister? Sometimes we get so self-consumed we think of no one else. Just me. We like to sing that song, "Is me, O Lord, stand in the need of prayer." I find we're supposed to pray always. Bear one another's burdens. Does that leave a lot of room for me, Brother Noah? Not much. I know that he knows my name. Mine is... make a statement. He hit me away. Here this morning, there is a handful of glory that's been dropped on purpose in your field. What will you do with it? Because let me tell you this. If you're constantly looking across the crowd, I wonder if so-and-so is going to move. You are going to miss your blessing. I need somebody to help me for just a second. Somebody real quick. Hurry. Somebody I trust. All right, John. Just follow me, okay? This. Get this, church. I've been leaving him some seeds. My basket's not empty. He's worth it. Disguised. In the midst of the field, if he would have been looking over to the right or looking to the left, but instead he kept his eyes in the field, because no doubt around about Ruth there was other people going about their life singing the joy of what they had, and she was stuck in the sorrow, but she stayed faithful. Be faithful this morning. Stand with me all over the house. There is a handful of glory that is being set before you. You can focus on what has disappointed you this morning. You can focus on how hard the path has been to get here. Or you can say, "Lord of the field, I'm here to work." She didn't go asking for anything extra. But in the midst of that, he went to the reapers and said, "Give plentifully. Throw out some handfuls. Don't let her go home empty, but let her go home full." We find later on that's what
Boaz told her, don't go to your mom-in-law empty-handed. The girl was more than enough. She was carrying so much. When Ruth walked through the door, Naomi said, who are you? I'm here to tell you this morning, when you begin to walk into the room, do they see you or do they see Jesus Christ? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. Closing on this last verse, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I want to turn that just a little bit. Comfort one another while you're in the field doing a mission work for God. Chelsea, we got to pick it up. Right now, raise your hands. Lift them up. We've got to say, Lord, I'm in the field and I'm weary, but I know there's a handful of glory for me. Hallelujah. Just praise and worship the Lord. Obey him. We came to have care meeting. We didn't come to look at one another, but we came.